you may not merely look on in the day of your brother's disaster, the day of foreigners. You may not brighten up for the sons of Judah in the day of their loss. You may not pervert your word in days of siege. That's from Obadiah chapter 1, verse 12, our daily scripture for today. Little children, from the Word Green version of 2003, the translation of the Holy Word from Obadiah chapter 1, the only chapter in the book of Obadiah. And continuing in our study of the article, The Ark of Urar to the Orient Express, chapter 11 now in part 2 of the article, The Ark of Urar 2, we have paragraph 4. We do not agree in the evolution of anything, nor in other explanations of events such as chance, which are only man's foolish attempts to rationalize things by means of his own falsely called wisdom, to which all humans are susceptible by means of fleshly weakness and inborn sin, but which are only to be explained by Jehovah's creative force, which is clearly in evidence by virtue of the created intelligence. Man is as incapable of explaining how he came to reason as a blade of grass is of explaining how it is that it grows. Jehovah knows how, and the creation's existence proves it. If seeing were believing, or seeing your own thoughts were a prerequisite to believing them, the sight of all of your thoughts would necessitate new thoughts for interpretation of that, they also then needing to be seen to be believed. Thus, seeing is clearly seeing, as believing is believing. Seeing is better than a life spent walking about. Ecclesiastes 6 and 9. Better is the seeing by the eyes than the walking about of the soul. Cainan's brother Kesed had a son named Ur, who founded the city of Ur-Kasdim. We looked at that yesterday. That's from Jubilees. Chapter 11. Yeah. That's right, in verse 3, although that link is broken because the location of the file was changed somehow by somebody. But you can get the Book of Jubilees, as I have done, by going to the website. This is Jubilees 11 right here. Ur, the son of Kesed, built the city of Ara of the Chaldees and called its name after his own name and the name of his father, Ur. That's 11 of the book of Jubilees, chapter 11, and that was verse 3, part of it. But we also see that I got this from, I don't know if you can see that. The website name is called Pseudoepigrapha. Pseudoepigrapha. You could find the Book of Jubilees, I'm sure, in many different locations. But Pseudoepigrapha is spelled PSEUDEPIGRAPHA.com. Pseudoepigrapha, all one word, with the Book of Jubilees. So it's Pseudoepigrapha.com/jubilees/11.htm, chapter 11. And continuing now, Kesed also had a daughter named Muach, who married Shelah. So later on, Ur's daughter also. So the lineage from Cainan on down, they intermarried. Later on, Ur's daughter Orah married Roy, the son of Peleg. the marriage of Cainan's descendants to those of Kesed, his brother, from the Book of Jubilees, implies a close connection of Cainan to the easternmost regions of Shinar. Why? Well, because we've talked about the Jade Palace being in the Kunlun Mountains, which is east of Shinar, and so on, you know, that we have, and that the Yellow Emperor moved to China, and that, you know, some of these people moved to China, and that's why that would explain why why China is on the, is the way it is in the east, and why it has the Yellow Emperor in China and so on. But there are a lot of things that are explained by this movement, but it's not written right here. I'm going to talk about it a little bit at some point, but the marriage of Cainan's descendants to those of Kesed implies a close connection of Cainan to the easternmost regions of Shinar. Right. And even perhaps connections to China itself, like in the Far East. And this would appear, that's the point that's being made here. There's some kind of connection. But we saw that Cainan was the daughter of, that was in the Book of Jubilees. The daughter, let's verify it first before I say anything about it here. Where was it written? Is it in chapter 11? Well, yeah, it's in 11:1 where it talks about Reu, or Roy, however we pronounce Reu's name, took to himself a wife, and her name was Ora, the daughter of Ur. But when we look at previously, I think it was maybe even chapter 8, I think, wasn't it? Yeah, Arpakshad took a wife, and she was a daughter of Susan, who was a daughter of Elam. So it was in Persia that the mother of Cainan was born, or she came from there. So we already see that's east of Shinar. Persia is east of Shinar in the east, or in the east part of it. So that fits really well, too, with where we know Shinar is, but it's going already toward the east. Sounds like, because Elam is east of Shinar. Is it not? Well, although back in those days, we're not sure where they are defining these boundaries for these places. And so let's go back to our article now. But we see that that was the thing I wanted to share once again, was this, the mother of Cainan, or Cainam, whatever the pronunciation or the correct form of it, and he's also called Kangji. He fits perfectly with the Chinese name Kangji in terms of being very similar. So, and Kangji, we identified with the same person as Fuxi. He just was, Fuxi was an emperor, because Fuxi was the name of the emperor, the last part of that name, meaning emperor. Xi means emperor in Chinese. So his name as emperor was Fu Xi, while his other name, Kangji, not sure how to pronounce it, but Kangji something, without knowing the proper pitch form right now, but Kangji is his other name that is, when he was helping the Yellow Emperor, his name was Kangji, and he invented writing. And it fits with, everything we know about Kangji fits really well with what we know about Fu Xi. And so we have the identity between Cainan and the Emperor Fu Xi. Fu Xi. I'm still working on the pronunciation of that name. Fu Xi. Chinese is going to be difficult to learn, I think, because they don't have the freedom like we do in English to accent with having pitch rising or falling whenever we so choose. But they have to do it a certain way, and it takes a lot of discipline for us to learn that. Now, a close connection of Qiana to the easternmost regions of China, which we saw through his mother also, right? And that's consistent with the battles, as we continue reading, of Qi Yu, who's Nimrod, and Shen Nong, who's Shelah, in our identification of those two, of Chinese mythology, involving Huang Di, who's Heber, in our identification. It is also consistent with scripture, as Abraham's brother Haran was born in Ur of the Chaldeans from Genesis 11:28. Oh, we know Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldeans. Genesis 11:28. Let's see if we can look that up and without getting distracted from what we're studying here. Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, it says, in company with his father. Before they left Ur to go to Haran, that was when Haran died. And Haran was one of the names of the brother, one of the brothers of Abraham. And it was also the name of a place. So this, it's not to be confused with the name of the place called Haran. Now, Haran was born in Ur, as we just said, but this is remarkable because if this other part, so we believe as much as we can about what the Book of Jubilees says, but we can't believe the chronology of it because it doesn't make any sense. From what we know about the chronology, we can't accept the chronological aspects of it. Which is not really a big, bad, terrible thing necessarily, because nobody has the chronology correct unless they've done all of the research, which we've done, which is an enormous amount of work. An enormous amount of multidisciplinary work using many different types of science and all sorts of different studies that we've done, to including language studies, as well as studies of geography, studies of astronomy, you know, all these things that we did, even radiocarbon dating, and all the things we did to learn, and the study of the manuscripts, right? I mean, but the list goes on and on and on, all the things we studied to get our chronology. So we're not going to be convinced by someone else's chronology that they cobbled together before the internet even existed. I mean, we're not going to be swayed by that chronology, but we can believe in faith that all these family relationships that are talked about, as many of them as are possible, without believing that so-and-so lived in the house of Noah, or these kinds of things, or that certain people were contemporary with other people, because that's just a statement based on what their understanding of the chronology was. It's not in evidence in any way. They don't have any proof that these people lived at the same time. They're not saying, we know they lived at the same time because of this particular thing. They don't have any evidence for it. And therefore, we believe the chronology, not the one they give, because it doesn't account for all the facts, but we believe our blessed genealogy. And we discount anything that conflicts with our chronology, right? Which is called the blessed genealogy. But all the other things, like the family relationships and who married who and all that, we can believe that as much as possible. And we do. We're trying to believe it. And it makes sense, because the people that supposedly married, according to the Book of Jubilees, gotten a little bit cold here, just chilly. In the Book of Jubilees, you know, the family relationships, they make sense, as we've seen there. So, you know, the people who were the descendants of Shem, this is the line that includes Cainan and goes on from our Shem, Arpachshad, Cainan, Shelah, Eber and Peleg, right? That lineage intermarried with each other, and they moved east. Some of them, right, moved east. At least some, but we know Abraham stayed in the land of Shinar, in Ur, with his family, that is, you know, his father. In foregoing discussion, oh, I spelled Keanu wrong there. Just notice, I'll have to make a note of that. That's another correction I need to make. Keanu was born in 3145 BCE, with Heber being born. And you notice the similarity between Heber and the word heaven? Where Avaris is the city that we identified in Egypt as being named after Heber, because the V and B are virtually the same letter in Hebrew. So Avaris and Eber basically are the same word. And so, you know, the city of Avaris, the city of the Hebrews, it makes perfect sense as the city of the Hebrews, since Hebrew is also derived from the name Eber, or Hebrew, or Heber, I should say. And so Heber is also parallel with the word heaven, is it not? I mean, that's very close to the word heaven. So it makes me wonder about that. But also, in our previous study of this article in chapter 11, paragraph 2, we just saw recently, and we didn't read it out, but there was a statement made by Heber, or the Yellow Emperor, right? He made this statement. He was the founder of Taoism, and he made the statement, "Stand upon the heavens' way to settle man." And the word way is the word Tao, or there it's spelled Do, but, or D-H-O-E or T-A-O are two different spellings of the word Tao for the, you know, key of, or the center of Taoism, which is the way, right? Taoism is the way. I remember when I was in high school, I and a number of my friends wrote that our religion was Taoism. When we were, you know, you had to fill out those forms in high school, say, what's your religion? I was one who wrote Taoism as my religion. That's, to me now, very significant, but it didn't, it was always sort of a laughing matter for us back then. But the way, the Tao, is the idea, is the idea upon which, you know, the word Taoism is based is the word Tao or way. And Heber is a name very similar to the word heaven. So when he said, stand upon the heaven's way to settle man, that just rings so true that it would have been the person Heber who said that. So true. Is it not? Is it not? I mean, in addition to all the other evidence, doesn't that just, it just, when I first saw that, I was like, I found a long lost relative or something. At that time, I didn't think back to my high school days particularly, but it was just something that just went to the core of my being, and I was just ebullient and ecstatic, you know, joyful to a degree that was just on a deep level, very deep. And, you know, I just can't describe it. It was so profound. So we have Keanan born in 3145, Heber born in 2883 BCE, and Shelah born in 3014 BCE in our genealogy. This is the Bible's God-given chronology of the Septuagint version. Right, we didn't make it up. We took it from the Septuagint, the oldest and best available biblical tradition. Keanan lived 460 years, Shelah 460 years also, Heber 404 years, in agreement with Sir Brenton, Sir Charles Lancelot Brenton, who wrote the, or translated the Septuagint into English. And though Keanan be absent from Jewish tradition, yeah, that's right, in the Jewish tradition they left out his name in the genealogy, except it was restored by the Christian writer Luke in the Christian Greek scriptures in his book Luke in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. He added the name Kanaan back in, but the Jewish tradition left it out. Now, Shelah and Eber are nearly similar. So it's interesting, Kanaan was left out by the Jewish tradition because we're saying Kanaan was to do with China. And his name even sounds like China. Kanaan and Kangji and China, they're all very similar words. But Shelah and Eber are nearly similar. What did I mean by that? Let no one, I wrote after that in quotes, upon comparing the lives of the ancients with our lives, think that what we have said of them is false, or make the shortness of our lives at present an argument that neither did they attain to so long a duration of life, 950 years, for example, for those ancients were made by Jehovah. And that's slightly paraphrased with the word Jehovah paraphrased. It's a quote from Josephus, and that's the end of the paragraph. That's a quote from the Antiquities of the Jews by Flavius Josephus, Book 1, Chapter 3, Number 9. So, yeah, we can't know how long. We can't say, well, we just because we don't live long lives, that therefore the ancients didn't live long. That's just what Josephus is saying. We can't say that. So Josephus, who lived even back in the first century, he even had figured that out, just like a scholar would today, a believing scholar, someone who's believing the Bible. We don't reject it just because it says they lived a long life. And the Hebrew Bible doesn't reject how long these people lived. The only change between the Septuagint and the Hebrew Bible was that the length of time before the birth of the next generation was shortened in the Hebrew Bible. The length of life was kept essentially the same, in most cases anyway, almost identical in almost every case. So there's no change to that between the different Bible versions. They all say the ancients lived very long lives compared to people, what people are doing the present time. What did I mean that they're nearly similar? Let's see. Well, yeah, in a sense, I suppose Shelah and Eber, in a sense, they're not really present in the Jewish tradition either, in the sense that not much is said about them, right? Not much at all is said about Eber. We don't know that he was, according to the Jewish tradition, the founder of Taoism. They don't talk about that. Or Shelah, we almost never hear anything about, right? We don't hear that he was the Emperor Shennong, who was so celebrated by the Chinese people, and who fought with Nimrod during the time of the Yellow Emperor, who was called Eber, and with Nimrod having been called Chi Yu, who was the founder of, or an inventor of weapons, similar to the way Nimrod is described in the Bible as a great hunter, right? Somebody who would have been familiar with weapons. So it all, excuse me, it all is well, and also, Shelah and Heber, their names begin with the same letter as Shennong and Huangdi, right? Chenon? 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 Let's look at that again. Where's the name Chenon? Where was I reading that today? It's here somewhere. Here it is, yeah. Chenon is the Chinese pronunciation of that name for what we believe is the name of Shila. And Huangdi, or Huangdi, is the Chinese pronunciation of what we believe is the name Heber. They both begin with the same, well, Chenon begins with SH, SH, just like Shila. And, you know, or Chenon, Chenon begins with SH, like Shila does, and Huangdi with H, just like Heber does. Now, Qi Yu is different. He doesn't begin with the same letter as Nimrod. But the description of Qi Yu seems to fit very well with the description of Nimrod. And it's quite... The other thing that we found was really... The proof was the time period. In the Chinese history, the time period was very much exactly in the right time, which is the other proof that they're the same people. They lived at the same time. They have similar names. What else do you want? You know, I mean, they're ancient people. What else did we use for? Well, we discussed the meaning of the Chinese names too, and how that could relate to the identities, you know, and comparing that with the names of the biblical patriarchs, right? With whom we were identifying them. We've already done that. We've already discussed that. And there seemed to be enough similarity there. But the only thing we can really do when we don't have any written documents to say that this name is the same person as that other name, the only thing we can do is make sure that, or look at the chronology and see, is it, did they live at the same time? And this is the remarkable, an unbelievable, revelation that we had in the case of the chronology that lined up between China and Shinar. And also the name China and Shinar is the same name almost. That was the other proof, right? We saw that there were so many correlations. It was irresistible. It couldn't be. It was one of those things. Resistance is futile. You know, you can. There's no better thing you're going to find. That's how it looked, and it still does. There's no better thing to find. And Heber is the unbelievably so. But Heber is the founder as the Yellow Emperor and the Jade Emperor. He's the Jade Emperor. He's the Yellow Emperor. Jade is green in color. My last name is green. I mean, all these things, I'm researching my family history. That's how I started to study all of this. Heber, and the word Heber is similar to the word heaven. And all of that, and then Heber is the Yellow Emperor, Huangdi, the Yellow Emperor, who founded Taoism, and he said, stand upon the heaven's way to settle man. It all comes together. And then there's more to learn about the Yellow Emperor. There's a lot more to learn about him. And I can't avoid the feeling and the sense of knowing that this is certainly learning about the biblical patriarch Heber when we study the Yellow Emperor. I can't help but feel that way. But we still can study it with an open mind, you know, and try and see whether there's any way that we're finding any proof against the idea, you know, that this Yellow Emperor is the same person as Heber. But of course there were other Hebrews, not just the Hebrews who went to China, There were other Hebrews. There were Hebrews. We know Abraham founded multiple religions as, you know, Heber founded Taoism, but we know that a later descendant of Heber, Abraham, was responsible for founding Judaism, Islam, or his lineage, that is. Yeah, I mean, you know. And what's the other one? Well, Christianity, too, right? Yeah, right. So all these things, but I think there's Abraham, we said Abraham was connected to how many religions? See if I can find it. Right. We had it here somewhere. We still have a couple of minutes. I'm just looking back. We talked about this. I believe we did. In this article here. Oh, hang on. I'll look up the word Islam. Yeah, I'll look up the word. That's what I'll do. Father of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. That's it. Abraham's the father of three major religions. It's remarkable, isn't it? And then Abraham's ancestor, Heber, founded Taoism. I mean, how big is that? How important is that? It's just mind-boggling to me. But I want to know more about Heber, of course, because the Bible doesn't give us any information about Heber, or very little. They name things after him, like the city of Avaris in Egypt was named after Heber, evidently. Look at this picture of this mosque in Samarkand. We didn't look at that before, but at the beginning of chapter 10, the mosque, beautiful building there in Samarkand in Uzbekistan. That's it. Today's study just about concludes our study for today. You know, what else is there to say now? I love talking about health, but we don't get time every day to talk about it. I still think vitamin C is excellent as a cure for any infection. And xylitol. X-Y-L-I-T-O-L. The sugar alcohol is a natural thing. It's an excellent, excellent thing to gargle with, brush your teeth with, do all sorts of things. Because it actually prevents the growth of certain bacteria like strep throat. It does a lot of things, though. It heals and cures a lot of diseases. It's January 3rd, 2025 of the Common Era. The time is 16:18 hours. Canadian Eastern Time. I'm Ward Green, and I love you very much, and thank you for joining today. And in my behalf, this is Sissy, and this is Star, saying bye for now. That was the Orient Express. The Arc of Your Work to the Orient Express, Chapter 11, Paragraph 4 today, was it not? I think so.